Parak 2, Mishnah 21. Rabbi Tarfon used to say, "It is not your duty to complete the work, but neither are you free to desist from it."
My father's mother died by the time I was 4. So really I speak of my mother's lineage. My grandmother came over from Bialytsevka in Ukraine when she was 4. The last of the youngest 2 kids and the mother, when the father and then each oldest sibling had come over. And my grandmother went to school until 8th grade and then worked. And she learned to earn her living as an invisible mender. For a very long time, I thought this meant that when she went to work, she disappeared. Until one day I went to work with her and I was waiting to see her fade. But she stayed there and I found out that it's her mending with a tiny latch hook that was invisible. She married young. She had 1 daughter. And then, completely atypical of her generation, she divorced her husband and raised my mother alone. My mother made it through high school, and then her mother did not permit her to take the scholarships to college. She needed her to work. So my mother married young and had me and divorced my father and raised me alone. She did not have a hard skill like invisible mending. In fact, she really took great care not to learn to type. And she raised me making her own living through a combination of wild imagination and chutzpah. And I took a look at that pattern by the time I was in my late teens and decided that I was not going to marry young and have a child and divorce and raise the child alone. And you know, when you make these vows, they stick, but you have no idea what this is going to mean. So it never, ever occurred to me that I would not give birth to children of my own. But when I heard you, Phyllis, speaking of the different names and how you introduce, when my oldest stepson is sitting right here, he's my contemporary, when my youngest stepson, Yotam, graduated University of Chicago, I wondered what he was going to do, because there was Reb Zalman and me and Ilana and Helena, and how was he going to navigate this? And the first person came up as we were all standing there, and without missing a beat, he said, "Serge, I'd like you to meet my family, my father, my mother, my co-mother, my stepmother." Some years after Reb Zalman and I got together, when I really knew that if I wanted this man, I would not be giving birth to children, I heard one woman say, as she looked around and saw many women in my situation, in one way or another, saying that she'd heard from some Native American older women that there were many women of my generation not giving birth to children of our own because the world was in such great need now of grandmother energy. Of the energy of women who looked at the whole and whose children were all the children, including the swimmers and the flyers and the four-leggeds and the creepers and the crawlers. And I took it to heart. And what I was going to speak about today had to do with the passion and the grief with which I'm seeing what is happening to our precious and only planet. And fortunately for everybody, I am spared having to do that because Rabbi Or Nistar Rose took care of that so much more beautifully and thoroughly than I could have. Are you here, Or? thank you, thank you, thank you.
Thank you, Grandma.
So instead, I get to pass on to you really what my mother gave me. And that has to do with what my darling calls my wild oats ministry. When I go out to get a half a gallon of milk and some vegetables, he never knows when I will come back. Because somebody might buttonhole me by the cheeses and schlep me to the corner with a cup of tea and pour their heart out. I never know where and what day this is going to be, but it happens regularly. To whom else does this happen? Ah, good, good, good. You're doing good. So what I'd like to give over to you, from my mother in particular, although my grandmother, I think, did it in her way as well, was not only the permission and not only the encouragement, but really the ukaz, the order, to be available for deployment. Because you never know when that schnorrer to whom you give the $2 that you carry in your ashtray, but that's the essential day. When the day you pass the woman who panhandles on a particular corner, that's the day she needs a lift somewhere. And you were on your way somewhere, but hey, you have no, we never have any idea what this does. And we are invited to be available to be those messengers every day, all the time. Anybody who's lived in Yerushalayim with the least degree of openness knows that this happens all the time. And if you have 2 days in a row in which something like that has not happened, you know, it's the day the sandlar, when you come to pick up your sandals, decides to tell you his life story. If there are 2 days in a row when that hasn't happened, you know you're out of tune. I want to submit that Yerushalayim is everywhere, and we need to be that available, even in the midst of a culture that despises organic time and tries to cram us into rectilinear boxes. Some of us are not good at that. My mother never learned to type. I never learned to look at a clock. So I am inviting all of us to be that unruly and that available all the time. Because the need for that now in our world is at least as great as the need for grandmother energy and grandmother wisdom. About 5 years before the death of my mother, Olea Sholem, who here knew my mother at all? So you know, she was a wild woman, right? She was a redhead who lived up to every redheadedness, you know? And she used to make demands at the Rabbanu Shel Olam. When I was still in my teens in high school, I remember her saying, "I need a sign that someone is listening. Give me a sign." At which point, by her bed, there was a radiator, this level, and a windowsill above it with a tissue box on it. There was a peach on the radiator. She yelled, "Give me a sign," and the peach fell into the tissue box. And she said, "That's enough." Later, she was about 69 or 70, which is distressingly close to, I mean, I'm heading that way quickly, and I heard her yelling at the Ribbono Shel Olam, "I need guidance. I need to know what I should be doing and where should." And she expected a title or a course or... And she went into meditation. She came out and stomped into the kitchen and said, "I'm so pissed. I asked what I'm supposed to do next. You hear what I got?" So, of course, she got something. She didn't think that was unusual. What she got was, "Go where I send you. Be completely present and do the best you can." And she really did this all the time. What? Don't you love it when you get cues from the back? She was big on asking for signs. somebody had given her a fax machine and set it up for her. She didn't know the number. She didn't read the directions yet. She didn't know how to use it. But it was one of those days when she was asking for a sign. And she was saying, "When I pray, is somebody listening or am I talking to the wall?" And the next morning, she came in, and there was a little paper sticking up from her fax machine, which she did not know how to use, and nobody knew the number, and it said, "Transmission received." So, by extension, I would like to give her brocha and my own. That everybody's life should open up, you should experience weirdnesses and be deployed in ways that are unavoidable, and that you always accept the invitation.